Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, that sleeping child that Mary was holding indeed is the great I Am. I Am, He said, the one who would bring unity and peace to a world that has been and still is torn apart. Lord, during this Advent and Christmas season, help us to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who can bring us unity. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers, sisters in Christ, let me take a risk here. I'd like you to close your eyes for a minute. Don't sleep on me. Imagine a scene that for most of us, especially in the month of December, is near and dear to our hearts. I want you to picture in your mind's eye the manger scene, that very first night in Bethlehem. What do you see there? The baby all wrapped up tight in swaddling clothes? Do you see Mary looking right into the face of her newborn son? Do you see Joseph, his head literally swimming with everything that's gone on in the last weeks or months? Do you notice the light that's streaming in from above? Where is it from? What's its source on this cold Bethlehem night? Okay, eyes open, please. That scene and the light that you see shining on the baby, Jesus is that star of unity that shines forth from the bright star that Bethlehem night. That is an amazing, beautiful, peaceful, serene scene, isn't it? Now fast forward with me a bit. It's no longer that starry night in Bethlehem. Now it's the night before Jesus would go to the cross. It's the night of the Last Supper, the night of the washing of the disciples' feet, the betrayal with a kiss from Judas. And on that night, Jesus prays. If you will, picture in your mind's eye Jesus praying. What is Jesus praying for on this night before he knows that he's going to die? Well, Jesus prays for his first followers. And it's all recorded for us in John chapter 17, beginning at verse 11. Jesus begins his prayer, well, he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. And he prays, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. And then Jesus prays for you and me, future believers, as we work through John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them, all of us, may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world would believe, Lord, that you have sent me, Jesus. I've given them the glory that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved me even as much as you have loved us. So again, what is Jesus praying for on the night before he goes to the cross? He's praying for unity. He prays for oneness. And in a world that is so broken today, this is really significant. On the night before Jesus would face pain, suffering on the cross for your salvation and mine, he prays for us, his people, that we would all be unified as one. At the very heart of our Lord Jesus Christ is his deep desire that we would be united. And not only does he pray for unity, he achieves it. That's what Paul wrote of in Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 18. Listen close. Paul tends to use tons of prepositional phrases when he writes. Nothing new here. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace. He made the two groups one, and he destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility by setting aside the law with all of its commands and regulations, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, making peace, and in that one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he has put to death their hostility. Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we all have access to the Father by one Spirit. Okay, so what is all this saying? Jesus came to bring unity. He restores unity between God and broken humans. He gives unity among various peoples. And he achieved all this when he gave his life for you and me on the cross. In that wretched darkness of Good Friday, the star of unity, Jesus Christ our Lord, still shone brightly for all people of all time to see. Okay, let's be honest though. Our world is right now, it's disjointed, it's discordant, it's a mess. Until our Advent Lord returns to restore all things and to bring that final unity to full completion, we're going to have to live with those remnants of disunity around us. Let me give you one stark example. Today in Palestine, there's a wall around the little town of Bethlehem. The people who live in that city, the thousands of them, are more or less held captive to their situation. The Bethlehem Wall is a sad example of broken hearts, of the divisions that exist between people. And just like the Berlin Wall of days gone by, the Bethlehem Wall has graffiti. It has messages that have been painted all over it. One message reads, "This wall may take care of the present, but it has no future." Another message echoes the words of former President Ronald Reagan when he visited Berlin: "Tear down this wall." Yet another message cries out, and this one really hit me: "We all bleed the same color." Another simply reads, "Forgive." But in that place where Jesus came in flesh and blood, in that little town of Bethlehem, the pastor and the people of Christmas Lutheran Church are seeking to bring unity by the only thing that brings true unity to our world. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel as it's lived out and shared with everyone. Indeed, the hopes and fears of all the years are still being met in Bethlehem right now. And as that Christmas hymn says so beautifully, "Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light." Dr. Mitri Rahab, the pastor at Christmas Lutheran Church, as you see here, said the following about the work that's being done by those who know Jesus in Bethlehem. He said, "Our aim is that our people who admire stars would dare to look up and dream, to believe in God-given goals that are striven for, to develop a new sense of hope, community, and most of all, faith in the one who that brings no divisions, that brings us together." You see, the star of unity is still shining brightly today. And it can shine right here, brightly in this place, through the Lord's working in us. Brothers and sisters in the faith, let me be clear. The star of unity shines brightly not when we find unity. Well, there are a lot of places we look for unity today. But we find our unity not just in skin color, ethnic background, common language, common socioeconomic status. Right there is where you find unity. The manger. The child born in Bethlehem. The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. As the Christian author A.W. Tozier once noted, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard by which all of them must bow." So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one looking away to Christ, are in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be were they to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. Last Sunday, I briefly shared the story of Johnny Erickson Tada. It's a story many of you are familiar with. He once wrote this, "Believers already are one and are expected to live that out. In Jesus, we've been made one." I love what G.K. Chesterton once wrote. "We are all in the same boat in a stormy sea, and we owe each other loyalty." The Apostle Paul boldly reinforced this reality when he wrote these words in Romans 12. "For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Then in Galatians 3:28, Paul wrote, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male and female, because you have all been made one in Christ Jesus." But I think the most striking and beautiful passage about unity is in the Old Testament. And it's in the Old Testament song and prayer book from Psalm 133, verse 1. It's a simple one. "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." I love how Eugene Brandt, in a paraphrase of this psalm, wrote this: "God, how precious it is for us, and how pleasing it must be to you when your sons and daughters and servants learn how to live and work together in unity. It is in the measure we do this that we begin to resemble you and to carry out most effectively your purposes in our disjointed and discordant world." Let me be clear, though. The evil one would love nothing more than to keep us all divided. His is a divide and conquer strategy. He thrives in that. And because of our own prides and prejudices at times, we can be cooperative. We can become willing participants in dividing and conquering. But we know of Satan's tricks. God lays them out for us in his words, and he's not going to win. We can achieve greater unity as we do what Jesus did to bring us unity. We work for unity when we love one another as God has loved us. We strive for unity when we forgive others as God has forgiven us. Unity is realized when we seek peace in the name of the Prince of Peace. You see, as Ephesians 2:14 states so clearly of Jesus, he himself is our peace. The word peace is shalom in Hebrew. In Arabic, it's salam. Jesus himself is our shalom. He himself is our salam. As his peace fills our lives and relationships, we are then led to be filled with lives of peace and love for each other. Oh, there is one more message among seven that's painted on that wall in Bethlehem. And it declares the gospel truth loud and clear because it's short and sweet. It simply reads, "Jesus, he paid the price. He paid it all." That's exactly how we live out life too. Because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price of our unity so that what he prayed for on the night of the cross might be realized among us. Jesus is our star of unity. In Christ, we are made one. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.